Welcome, Dead Draw Gamers, to the fifth episode of the Dead Draw Gaming Podcast. Tonight, I am joined by Gabriel Smart and Piper Lapine, fresh off of a EUIC tournament in London, the EUIC 2023. Tonight, we're going to talk about the results from EUIC as a whole and talk about Gabe and Piper's tournament runs. We got a top 256 finish from Gabe and a 23rd place finish from Piper. So we are going to go in depth in both of those results and then kind of talk about the future of how this meta is going to shape up as we advance from EUIC. We've got, was it Fresno in a couple weeks or is it Connecticut first?
Portland.
Portland in a couple weeks on May 6th on my wedding day, so I will not be watching. Okay, so how are y'all doing tonight?
Pretty good.
Good?
Yeah, pretty good.
How was y'all stripped back from EUIC? I know it's a long, arduous journey from London back to the States, especially all the way to where you are, Gabe.
Yeah, no, I just got back last night. I mean, like, to be fair, like, I did have a couple stops in some other countries. One of them was intentional because I was kind of on vacation. So it was okay, but I'm still really tired. So, you know, if I don't have an insane amount of energy, that is why. So, yeah.
All right, cool.
I'm hanging in there.
Jet lag's catching up to you.
Trip back is a lot easier than the way there, but I've been waking up at 5 a.m. the last couple days.
Well, you get y'all warmed up for the trip over to Japan in a few months here, because it's a
for sure.
It's actually probably closer for you, Gabe. But all right, cool. Well,
it is, yeah.
To get into the EIC tournament itself, I think just off the bat, we should kind of touch on Alex Szymanski taking it home, kind of dusted off that curse of never being able to get a big finish, took it down, I think, with sort of an unexpected deck in RCS Duraludon. Just to start off with that, were y'all surprised by what ended up winning EUIC, or was this kind of, a dark horse that maybe you could have seen winning EUIC, seeing as how Lugia was going to be such a huge part of the meta? What do y'all think of this, the winning deck here?
I wasn't too surprised to see it win. Like, I played against Alex and Michael Bergerac day one. They were both playing the same deck. Michael ended up bubbling out of top eight, but like, they just have really good matchups into everything. I don't know. Most decks just weren't prepared to deal with Duraludon, and then Gardy, you can just bull picks a lot of the time. Memory skip tends to not be enough when they have four lost cities. Pretty good overall.
I think that Arceus Duraludon is not a surprise to see see success. I think the Vulpix and the Gardevoir were definitely the surprises in the list that a lot of people weren't thinking about, because heading into the tournament, a lot of us were preparing for the Arc Pile build that had the Alolan Vulpix and the Flying Pikachu. That was the build that the majority of, I would say, top groups were preparing, from what I had heard. However, the Duraludon part was the thing that kind of surprised a lot of us, because the deck pretty much just took out the Flying Pikachu and added that instead, and obviously made some other adjustments. So, yeah, I think the four lost city was something that was, kind of surprising, but it makes a lot of sense. The deck has pretty good matchups across the board. The only problem with it is that if Gardevoir starts to tech for it, the matchup becomes very easy for Gardevoir, things like Mimikyu EX and stuff like that. But I think the deck was a perfect meta call at the beginning of the format, because we kind of had a good idea of what everyone was, was probably going to play, because heading into ICs, players typically like to play the safe pick. And also, since this IC had so much bearing on whether or not players, would get their invite or not, or whether or not they wanted to push for their invite, I think created a perfect storm where players played it safe with decks like Lugia, which created a great opportunity for Duraludon to do well.
Right on. And it's actually probably a smart move switching out from the Flying Pikachu to the, well, is Flying Pikachu weak to fighting? I think it is, right? So
no, it's weak,
no, it's weak to lightning.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Well, yeah. So an interesting, list to have won, I think, but My question, and maybe I'm just completely oblivious to this, and I've played maybe four games online with the winning list. How does Arc Duraludon beat Lost Zone?
Lost City.
Yeah.
Lost City and Judge. Like, the matchup is not like exceptional. I know that Szymanski tied versus a Lost Box, and I think they beat the rest, but I know the matchup is like a little bit shaky, like if they pop off, especially the turbo one. The turbo one is kind of the shaky one just because of like the Dragonite, like super quickly. However, if you're playing against pretty much any other version, you're typically okay just because like Duraludon has a lot of big, just like a lot of HP. And Lost City is very, very good because you can, get rid of things like Radiant Charizard or like the Raikou or like the Dragonite like pretty easily. So.
Yeah, so you're hoping they have a two prizer, and even if they don't, you're just trying to power through with Duraludon by tanking, basically.
For the most part, yeah. I'm not sure if Piper tested that deck, but she might have more information on it. But that's what I have been doing.
Yeah, like with three judge, you just kind of break them. You're attacking turn two, and a lot of times they aren't going to have a good response onto your Arceus. If they're playing like Zapdos, Sky Seal Stone, and Dragonite, like that's not that much, but like that definitely gets a bit sus. Other than that, like Sableye, I watched a bit of the game versus Petra. I didn't have a whole lot of time to watch that. But you kind of they don't really have a great response if they're playing Sableye. That's just one of the big issues with Sableye as a whole, but yeah.
Gotcha. And then moving forward, I mean, what do y'all think about this deck just in general, going into the next regional or even bringing us out to the league challenges and cups that are going on as we speak?
I think it's pretty bad into all of those. It might be okay in the cups and challenges, but like now that everyone's looking at it, everyone's going to be playing Tex. Lugia is going to be playing at least a 1/1 Dura now. That's like basically a staple, I feel. I think it's really good as well, though. Then Gardevoir can just play Tex, like as simple as like rope. I think if Tord played another Gust card, probably would have won. Tord also played a bit Sabopoli, though, in final. I don't know. Like, I think there's a lot of things that Guardy can just put in and that matchup becomes really good.
Nice. Okay. Sorry, go ahead.
I think Gar or I think that Arc is like okay just because it's Arceus, but I think even Szymanski said on Twitter like this was kind of the one event for it just because people didn't really know exactly what to do. And I was actually testing the Guardi matchup, and the Guardi matchup does not even feel good because they go Roxanne memory skip you, and then if you don't find switch, you just insta lose. So that was the problem that I was having. You're like kind of like what Piper said, and Tord even said this, he didn't play necessarily super well in that third game, I think especially. But if you just get set up in my testing, just the one of memory skip is enough. But I think, as I said at the beginning of the formats, players play safe, and also especially players don't know how to play against rogue ideas a lot of the time, so you can really take advantage of that. Like Vulpix is a card that's been around for some time, right? However, people don't necessarily have a grasp on exactly what they should be doing versus it, or like at least like the general community probably doesn't, because it's a card that hasn't seen a whole lot of play nor success recently. So I think the deck will remain as an okay pick for League Cups just because Judge slash Starbirth is really, really good. However, I don't think it's a great play for a regional championship anymore.
Okay. So the rest of the top four from EUIC, I'm actually looking at the meta, but the results for the top four, we had Arc Duraludon in the top spot against Gardevoir in second, then Mew VMAX in third, and Lost Box in fourth, and that was Tord Rekla, Pablo Meza, and Pedro Eugenio Torres. I don't know if I've ever seen a top four as stacked as this one was. And then the rest of the top eight was kind of composed of Goodra, Lugia, and Lone Rhydon EX filtered in there. Why don't we go ahead and just kind of talk about y'all's deck choices? I know Gabe, you ended up playing Lugia, and Piper ended up playing the Goodra. Let's start with you, Gabe. What made you decide on going with Lugia? Was it it sounds may have been like a safe choice, like you've been saying, or kind of going along the same type of deck you've been playing, you know, and how did your tournament go overall?
Yeah, so I can kind of go over the thought process of like testing that the night before, like that me and my group had. We initially had Gudra sleeved up on Thursday and also Wednesday throughout most of the day. We were testing Gudra with a one of Articuno. I know that Piper played the Articuno. That was kind of the card that was kind of going around as like the hot tech to play in the Gudra list. And we tested it. It felt great for the first 20, 30 games. And the other half of it just felt like an inconsistent mess of a deck that was even losing to Lost Box. And that's where kind of the question marks kind of started to become. And then we transitioned to Lost Zone Giratina. I drew a couple hands of the deck, which I actually was planning to play Giratina. I had the deck ready and fully built at like 5 a.m. in the morning, and I woke up and I just was like, there's just something wrong with the deck. And the biggest thing was, like consistency. So at that point, as someone who's chasing a top 16 stipend, I was like, I just need to not mess this event up. So that's kind of where I went with Lugia V-Star. Now, if this was a regional championship, I probably would have played Gudra or Giratina. But that just kind of goes to show exactly how important these ICs are, for players who are, either chasing their invite or, for me, chasing a top 16 berth. So I decided to go with Lugia, pretty standard list. I almost played a 1-1 single strike Urshifu line in the deck because I know that Duraludon and Gudra were getting talk, and that card theoretically helped out against both of those matchups. But in testing, it didn't actually work super well because after you use the single strike blow, if they just judge or Roxanne you, it's pretty difficult for you to find the double earn to do it again. And if you can't do it back to back, then the card is just objectively bad. So that's just where me and my friend Calvin kind of just came to the point, just saying, let's just play safe and play Lugia. I tied my winning in. I was gonna win the game, but that's a whole other story. But the deck felt good and like I got points, so I can't complain. But I wish I played the Duraludon in the deck because I lost to Eric Rodriguez actually. When I was 5-1-1, he ended up getting top eight. I think he actually won out after playing me or lost like one game after that or something like pretty crazy. So after playing against his build, I was like, yeah, this is definitely the way that like Lugia needs to be played. So yeah.
Gotcha. Yeah, and important to point out, like the difference that Gabe's talking about here is the, if you don't know, the points are significantly increased for international championships. So you can do top 128 or top 256, and get considerably more points than you would from regular regionals. A follow-up question for you. You mentioned that you had it sleeved up at like 5:30 in the morning. Can you just give me like a behind the scenes of the night before an international championships? What time are you going to sleep, if at all? And what time are you getting up in the morning to head out to the venue? And what does that look like?
That is a great question. It depends on the people you're with for this event. For me, I was with most of my DDG teammates. I was with Finn, Hunter, and Nicholas Moffat, and also Calvin and a couple other people who were there who were, helping me out. We pretty much just did like a spreadsheet on like what decks we felt had the most issues and what decks had the most, like that were going for it. And the number one and two decks that actually came out of that were Giratina and Lugia. At that point, I'm someone who heading into the night before a tournament is just exhausted. And I really wasn't testing a whole lot the night before. I pretty much did all my testing during the afternoon and also on Wednesday, but I did kind of pay attention to exactly how games were going. And like Giratina was actually running the table versus mostly everything. We added in the Tropius one shots things like Tyranitar and Stonejourner because those are both grass week. So he pretty much just ran a spreadsheet and exactly like what decks had the big had like the most amount of cons and what decks had the most pros. And like as I said, we came out to those two decks as one and two. And then we pretty much just ran them through the gauntlet. Like we just tested pretty much every single matchup. We found out that Giratina was a deck that had a very, very good Lost Zone Gudra matchup, but the problem that we were running into was the Lugia matchup was incredibly shaky, which going into this event, in my opinion, it was either you play Lugia or play a deck that took a relatively decent Lugia matchup. So that was a concern. But the biggest concern was Turbo Lost Box. That matchup did not feel very good, which is the big thing that scared me off it. I know that the rest of them all decided to play Giratina, and I know that they kind of struggled against some of the Lost Box variants, but yeah, those are the reasons as to why I didn't decide to play it and why I just like decided to play Lugia. But yeah.
Last question. Do you regret your choice at all, or are you comfortable with how things went?
I wish I would have given Gudra more of a chance. I mean, as I said, I played like 20-ish games like the day before with the deck, and or like the day or two before the deck. I wish I gave the deck a little bit more of a chance because I knew it was good. And typically when I trust my gut, I do well. When it came to Lugia, I mean, Lugia was just kind of a play that like I always knew that if I sleeved it up, I knew I could play it pretty much perfectly. So I don't necessarily regret it because I did also get the NAIC stipend with it. Now, if I did not get that, then I would have regretted it. But I was able to salvage that. So I don't really have any regrets just because like it's an IC, at least I got points, and that's pretty much what you need to do at ICs. You just need to get at least points or else it's in a disaster. So I don't necessarily regret it. My only regret would be not giving Gudra more of a chance because I knew the deck was good and we had a pretty good list as well. Actually, pretty similar to Piper's list that they used to get top 32. So
All right, over the Piper. You played the Gudra Lost Zone box. So I've got your list pulled up here. Just kind of run it by everybody. So standard four Comfey, three Gudra V, three V-Star, Drapion V, Cramorant, Radiant Greninja, and then the lone Articuno from Silver Tempest. Kind of that's the paralysis one, I think, right?
yeah.
Yeah, so why don't you just same question, just kind of go over your deck choice and then how the tournament went.
Yeah, so I came to UIC like just ready to play Kyogre. I think I had Articuno Kyogre built at the time. That deck was working pretty well, but the Lugia match was still kind of sus. The Indonesia Regional League happened. Lugia got first and second at that. The week before, Lugia won both late nights. So I'm like, I feel like there's going to be a lot of Lugia. And I just didn't want to get griefed by Kragalanch, which just happened a lot with Kyogre. So then I started like just testing everything. I was on Sky Seal Stone Lost Box for a while, then Tina, then I eventually started playing some Gudra games. And out of all the games with Gudra I played, like I was drawing it, the deck just felt really consistent compared to the other Lost Box variants. Most of my losses, I had just made a misplay earlier on in the game, like over benching or something. So once I started to adjust to playing the deck, because I hadn't tested Gudra much at all, I felt really comfortable with the deck and it felt like a really good play. I added Recycler to it. That card was broken. It won me multiple games at the event. I knew the Guardi matchup would be a bit sus, and Recycler kind of helps with that. Because I assumed a lot of Guardi players would over attach to a Guardiization, putting 10 energies onto it to kill a Gudra that I just use Rolling Iron with. And then you can go Boss's Orders up their Guardi EX and deck them out because they only play 11 energies and most of them don't have a way to pivot that Guardi. I did that once. Articuno was also to help the Guardi matchup and the Lugia matchup a bit. Because those Guardi's like the main worst matchup. I think like I only played one Drapion, which was fine. I beat both Mews I played against. I did get a bit lucky against the DTE Mew. They bricked game two, but overall the list felt very good. Articuno should have won me three games, but I got a bit unlucky, slash my opponent got a bit lucky, so it ended up not winning me those games. But it gave me like win conditions and otherwise losing games.
Nice. And what's like the worst matchup for the Gudra variant of Lost Zone?
I would say Lugia with Duraludon. Like your win condition to that is Roxanne Temple and hope they just never draw a stadium out.
All right. And then going back just to the overall results, I mean, I think pretty much the kind of meta share for everything was pretty expected. Lugia had the top share, 27%. There was a heavy amount of Lost Zone. If you kind of put all the Lost Zone decks together, that went up to like 36%. And then it just kind of broke down across Mew VMAX, Gardevoir, Arceus, Maridon, and I think my favorite deck right now, Inteleon, sneaking in at like a ninth place finish or something like that. The rest of the meta, anything shocking that really stood out to y'all from this tournament?
I don't know how Maridon got top 8, but it did. I don't know. Like, I tested the deck and I was like, this is one of the worst decks I have ever played in my life. And it got top 8. So, shout out to them. They must be really good at Pokemon. That's what I'll say. Or else their list is just absolutely just like fantastic. That was the one thing that shocked me. But other than that, I guess the Sander deck, but like we all kind of knew Sander was gonna bring something spicy. But those were kind of the two surprises.
Yeah, the Maridon seems like they just high-rolled the absolute
I looked at their
nut, like,
matchups and I was like, yeah, this is probably why they did well.
no, yeah, their matchups were very good. I played them at the round nine, and I lost. They told me that they hit four Gudras. That matchup seems like very free. I think they hit Sander day one, and that matchup also seems really free because you just one-shot everything. I think they won UK Nationals years ago, so I'm sure they're a good player, and their list was like pretty consistent for Maridon and like definitely one of the better Maridon lists, but I do think matchup roulette definitely went in their favor.
Okay, well, you heard it here first. Do not play Maridon in any of your locals or future major
Well, I
events.
mean, the thing about locals is like you can just, since they're so much smaller, it's a lot easier to metagame them if you just like go to your local stuff. So maybe it's just really good if everyone's like, I don't know if everyone's playing Gudra.
Good foreshadowing. We will get into metagaming for your locals in a little bit here. Once we go to the Cutter Tap subscriber portion of this week's podcast, we'll get into kind of the future meta. But that that's a really good point. And what I've seen at locals, at least in my area, is basically everyone is either playing Lossone or Lugia. That's all that's out there. Everyone has just continued what they've been playing in the last format. I haven't seen anyone pick up like new cards. I've seen one person out of like 15 matches play Gardevoir, but that's about it. Anything else in the like top 8 to top 16 that really stood out to y'all? I again, one of my favorite decks right now, Inteleon. What do y'all think of that deck heading forward?
It's a deck. It's really stupid. All the games that I tested with it, I drew like really awful hands, and then I still won the games. Like it just feels so bad to play the deck. I don't know.
My only experience with the deck was I sat next to someone that was pulling off these insane, crazy, like yoga loop plays, and I could hear them pulling it off, and they were still losing. So that's my experience with the deck. No, in all seriousness, I think it's okay, but I think the biggest problem has always been the Lugia matchup because you do like zero damage to it because of resistance, I think, right? Or there's something that makes that matchup very bad. But I know that was the big issue that a lot of them are running into. I know that. Drew Kennett played like a Radiant Eternatus build of the Rapid Strike Urshifu with the Inteleon VMAX. That was kind of cool, but I think the deck is okay. It's just its power level is like very weak, but it does have some cool things you can pull off. But the Guardian matchup kind of seems sketch as well. So I don't know.
And also, I think it's actually, I don't know if it's a more complicated deck than any of the Lost Zones or other top decks like Mew or whatever, but it does get a little bit complicated placing your counters correctly. I remember going back into like the Sun and Moon format with those like Tapu Koko or like kind of spread decks. If you don't look for 3 or 4 turns and place your damage counters correctly, you're gonna just play yourself out of the game, and it might be a deck that you really really have to get used to do well with. Okay, how about let's talk about just real quick, and then we'll cut over to the Cutter Tap part of the podcast, but y'all's thoughts on the number two list. Now, y'all, I want to get y'all's take on what you've mentioned already. And this is nothing that Tord hasn't said himself, because he even tweeted he, threw or played not his best on in that match. But what do y'all think of the Gardevoir list from Tord? And just kind of touch on, that kind of aspect of the match where this is the first time in a long time I've seen Tord not play brilliantly in a finals match?
I guess I'll start here.
Sure.
So, after testing Gardevoir pretty significantly, multiple versions, heavy candy, low counts of candy, Mewtwo V Union, and then the Torrid version, I think the Torrid version is the best. From what I noticed, Torrid's version was able to get the most out of every card that a lot of Gardevoir lists weren't actually doing. One of the things that me and my testing group, and even just like some of my friends who I don't necessarily play like many games with, like pretty much what we all came to the agreement was is that Gardevoir is the deck with the most potential heading into this event. It just had the highest ceiling. The biggest problem is, and I think a big reason as to why its win rate on Limitless and stuff like that. And I think I actually said this in the previous podcast. I would not trust that win rate simply because of the, actually no, I did say it in the last podcast. I did not trust the win rate of Gardevoir and Limitless because I knew the deck had a lot of untapped potential, and we saw that with Tord's build. You know, things like the Cresselia, which originally I actually hated, and I think a lot of the people in the community, even like many like pretty well-known players, did not like it that much. But once I actually started playing games with it, and I realized just how important it was versus Lost Box, I was like, wow, this card is actually freaking amazing. And then I saw it on stream as well. He was able to use it even in finals. I think game two versus Szymanski, he was able to knock out an Arceus, which was actually pretty critical because it put himself in a situation to win the game potentially the next turn if Szymanski missed switch, which obviously he did not. But I thought that I think the Tord list is probably the best as of right now. I think also a lot of people were concerned about the research line. We saw many lists that were just playing two judge and no research, which were creating kind of inconsistency issues. But I think it's more important to value consistency over everything, which is why I now like the research version. The one thing that I'll say is that the Lumineon is one thing that I think is very cuttable. That card can sometimes be a double-edged sword, as it's great to put down, get yourself a supporter. However, then you have to collapse it away. It's just kind of a sitting duck. When it came to your second part of the question, when it comes to like playing poorly, I mean, all top players have those games where like they just don't play well. Like I've been streamed multiple times, and I even find myself, like when I get streamed, I'm like, I could have probably done something to, just like being on stream is a different feeling, and I think it's a little bit harder to play well, when you got white noise, being blasted into your head, and then people really don't take into consideration, players who aren't at these events, and like me and Piper kind of know this, but the mental fatigue, even like on day three, is extreme. Like getting through that day one is difficult, but going through an entire day two is just a mental grind. So, I know that when I'm, half asleep, I'm not like playing as well, or just like when I'm tired, I'm not playing as well. And like I can guarantee you, like both of those players were not super rested heading into this, event. So I don't really blame him. He's a fantastic player, so.
Yeah, I can't imagine, going through day one, day two, and then the stress of waiting, what, like 12-ish, 14 hours between your last, top four match and your finals match. Like, I wouldn't sleep, but yeah. Piper, your thoughts?
I don't know. With Gardevoir in general, every time I play the deck, it just feels like a pile. I played Tord's list, I played the list that won seniors. Like, maybe I'm just unlucky, but I feel like I draw horrendously with that deck. I was testing it for UIC, but like it just felt really bad. I don't know. But yeah, Tord definitely made some questionable decisions, but yeah, like stream just gets so bad. I don't like playing on stream, the white noise. And then you, I guess, like it's not necessarily if you're in finals, I guess, but when you're in day two or day one, and then you just, it's like slight white noise and silence, and then you just hear VGC start screaming or pogo, whatever. Like, it's just, you just kind of get jump scared, and it's so bad.
Yeah,
I also
Unite
just
was
play
going
Wurgs.
crazy in the background for a lot of day two, I think.
And the players hear it through there, like the white noise is like kind of like it's there, but like you can hear people, like it's something that like I actually know what happened was when Szymanski, I think it was game three, he prized Vulpix at the top of his prizes, and like the crowd made like a pretty loud, like holy shit, right? I think that's I'm fairly certain Szymanski probably heard that. So, that's that there it's not as it's not as it's not a perfect system, so yeah.
You can also hear like announcements, like you can hear time getting called for everyone else, but yeah, it's definitely not great for blocking out sound. I don't know.
And you can hear
Also,
your
you
opponent, right? You can like talk to the opponent and the
can hear the
judge.
opponent and the
Yeah, yeah,
judge.
yeah. It also just gets awkward because then you have like the headset on, and then if they make you wear a second shirt, then you just start to like overheat. It gets very awkward sometimes, like.
Yeah, that was kind of annoying. We had two players on screen from the team, and for some reason, between the regionals and the ICs, they decided they wanted to go back to the not allowing jerseys on screen, but whatever. Okay, very last question, just a fun one real quick before we hop over the cut or tap portion of the podcast. Because you reminded me, Piper, about this with the seniors final. What did y'all think of, I don't know if, I think it was maybe juniors, but one of the winners, either juniors or finals, hitting the gritty dance after wrapping up his win. A, what do y'all think of the dance in general? B, should we start expecting this in a Masters winning performances? And should it be allowed if Masters start hitting dances on the stream stage? Should Pokemon do something?
I think it was very funny. I think the kid tweeted that they talked to their opponent beforehand and they agreed that they could dance or something, so like it wasn't disrespectful or anything.
Okay.
I think it was very funny, but I think it would be a bit weird if we saw fully grown adults doing that on stage.
I remember someone made a tweet saying, like, oh, man, why didn't you Alex Szymanski do this or something like that? And it was just like that like I could not imagine Tord or Alex Szymanski or like Ross Coughlin,
I would pay
doing that, but
$10,000 to see Ross Coughlin
I would pay $10,000 to see
do
Ross Coughlin
anything.
do that. I don't think anyone would say no to that. But no, I'm in all seriousness, like it doesn't really matter, like Remy's a really good kid. I actually was helping him out. Me and some of my friends were playing some games with him on Wednesday. So, because he like really wanted to go and hit, like back-to-back wins because he wanted OCIC as well. So, he's a good kid. So I'm not surprised that, he made sure that like it was okay, that like he could do that, based off of like whoever won. So, yeah, no, I don't think it's a problem. I just think it's honestly good because that tweet kind of went, viral, and it helps out the Pokemon community when more people see, the game as like a fun environment and, stuff like that, where, like pop and just like rap culture, just like all those, types of things are just, kind of like starting to cross over, which I think is a good thing. So yeah,
Yeah, for
it
sure.
can't
Yeah.
hurt.
Definitely better than the virality of the last few incidents from tournaments. And I'll commit right now, if I ever went on stream in the future at any Pokemon event, I will hit the worm on stream to make sure Pokemon does something about Masters dancing and events. Okay, with that, we're going to wrap it up here on YouTube and with the audio podcast. Just a reminder for y'all, please be sure to go check out deaddrawgaming.com. Got all your singles, decks, supplies, everything you need for your IRL play. And then over at cuttertap.com, we've got all six of our Team DGG pro players writing articles on a weekly basis, so please be sure to check that out. Thank you, Gabe and Piper, so much, and we will catch y'all next time.